Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Hey! who've been feeding this Redwood Church, been building Reformat Church. There's no God is just teaching his people this Sunday. 3 days ago, I went on a prayer walk. My accident came back, sat outside, took my phone, was reading the Bible, John 17, and I saw where Jesus spoke about his name. I protected them by their name. And then light bulb hits me, revelation. And then I went up. The Holy Spirit dropped an idea in my heart. I said, just let's publish the name of Jesus. And I just said to people, 12 o'clock, put the name on Jesus. And I knelt down. I said, who are you? He breathed upon your name. Take your name to the nations of the earth. I have accepted that Jesus must advertise himself in the nation. He's about to advertise his glory through you. People will look at you and see Jesus. I'm not just talking. People will see a let every other day release that name in this place. His presence is here so strong. We come before your throne. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Christ, which was and is to come.
Praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the worship that you have allowed us to be part of this day, O God. We ask you, Father God, to, God, receive the worship, O God, that we have already sent up before you this morning. We ask you to bless this service this morning. Thank you, Father, O God, for Brother Deacon Fraser. We went on his line last night but did not hear his voice. O God, we pray, God, that we'll be able to fellowship with the folk, O God, and talk to you, Lord. We pray this morning that you would move in our midst. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us life and giving us life more abundantly. Oh, God, we ask your forgiveness this morning. We ask your grace and your mercy that surpasses all understanding. And this morning, as we teach on the subject matter, living on borrowed time, that is going to be our topic today, living on borrowed time. But before we go there, we're going to do what we are supposed to do every Saturday, and that's partake in Holy Communion. And, oh, Father, we ask that you bless these articles, this wheat of the field and this fruit of the vine that represents your body that's been broken for us and your blood that's been shed from Calvary for us. Father, we believe that you were crucified and that you died on the cross and that you were buried in a borrowed tomb and that you rose again on the third day. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, starting at verse 23, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us take the bread and break it and eat it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do in remembrance. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. And the rest I will set. Let him eat at home, that he come not unto condemnation. The rest I will set in order when I come. Let us all drink together. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. This morning, thank you, Lord Jesus. I got to make sure that I take this stuff with me because I'll be away. I think for two, three Saturdays, I'll be away. I want to do my Holy Communion while I'm in Barbados. Yes, we are talking this morning about living on borrowed time. And if you look at the world and see the things that are going on, and then you look at the Bible and see what the Bible is saying, you will know that we are living on borrowed time. And we ought to be focusing on getting our hearts right, because we don't know what hour, what day, what time, oh God, night or day, morning or afternoon or evening, that he's going to show up. We don't know, but we are living on borrowed time, and we ought to be living holy. We ought to be living holy, not talking holy, but living holy, because we don't know when he's going to come. You have so many people. I was watching some lady was writing on Facebook, you know, that people post a lot of scriptures, but they don't live the scriptures, you know. And, this, you know, we know the same people that post the scriptures that they get very angry at people, very, very angry at people. But listen, we're not here for that. In the book of Revelation chapter 8, let's go there. We want to see why we are living in borrowed times and why we have to get our life together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. We're not going to just say we're doing this and we're doing that. We're going to do what we say we're going to do because we want God to see us in action obeying his word. Hallelujah. Living by the word of God. Not talking the word, but living by the word of God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we make some decisions that we can't fulfill because other things comes up or other things were in the way. But all in all, when it comes to the word of God and we make a decision on the word of God to live holy, we ought to live holy. Here in the book of Revelation chapter 8 and 9, we're going to go to chapter 8 and 9, then we're going to jump some other places through the scriptures. But here, the scripture that I have that, excuse me, the scripture that I have on the computer is Acts chapter 2 and 38, and then chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Revelation. Let's see what Acts chapter 2 and 8, you already hear it every day. So then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent is the first thing that he's saying. He's speaking to the people, and he tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, not some of you, but all of you. Everybody needs to repent. That's what he's saying. Everybody needs to repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is your keeper. You need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost so you can be kept. Here in Revelation chapter 8, talking about the opening of the seven seals. And he says, and when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and a large amount of incense was given to him in order that he could offer the praise of all the saints on the golden altar that is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense went up before God, that's the praise of the saints, with the praise of the saints from the hand of the angel. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were thunders and sound of lightnings and an earthquake. Now, after the interlude of chapter 7, the seven seals are open and seven angels receive seven trumpets that signal a further round of judgments when blown. But first, another angel takes a censer symbolizing the praise of God's people and hurls it to the earth. I want you to understand, we are on borrowed time. We are living on borrowed time. And some of us think that we have so much time because we have 3-4 jobs. We have big house, big cars, 2-car garage, 3-car garage, 4-car garage. Some got 2 swimming pools, more than they can use at a time. And they believe they have all this time to spare. But I got news to you. It's borrowed time because no one know when he's coming. And the Bible declared that he's coming in a twinkle of an eye. Before you can snap your finger, he's going to be here. That's why we got to stay ready, not get ready. We have to be prepared to meet the Savior. And how you going to get prepared? Your life must glorify him. Verse 6 says, talks about the blowing of the trumpet. Hallelujah. In verse 6, the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves in order to blow the trumpet. See, the angels in heaven prepare themselves, and we think we are going to be here on the earth, and we are not going to live a prepared life. We are going to do whatever we feel like, and we are going to do whatever we feel like without obeying God and think we're going to heaven. One man was saying, He's a homosexual preacher. He's on Facebook. And he's got a very big church, large church. And he's talking about how all these homosexuals, LGBTQ, are part of his church and how they come and they have problems and how they come and talk to him. And he is saying that they're going to heaven. Well, the only way they're going to go to heaven or go to the New Jerusalem is if they have repented, received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and if they stop living a homosexual lifestyle. It's the same thing for somebody committing adultery or fornicating or stealing or gambling or cussing. We have to completely stop, eliminate it from our life. It can no longer be part of our life, of our walk. Hallelujah. We have to let it go. But some people say, let go and let God. Well, it's a good cliche, but are you letting go and letting God? We can't say, well, because she's not giving me no sex, I'm going to get me another girl. Because you're not sexing me, I'm going to get me another man. No, you're living for God. God will keep you. God will keep us until the time is right. Hallelujah. So the angels are prepared to blow the trumpets because they are assigned, have an assignment from God. The people are being warned. Warnings are going out there from all these different edifices. People are sending pastors, women pastors, men apostles, women apostles, prophets, prophetess. They are sending forth warnings from the altars, from the house of God. Those of us that are speaking some doctrine, not the ones that are preaching a message that want to make you feel happy, the ones that make you get mad with the pastor. Those are some doctrine. Some doctrine will make the congregation get upset because they hear themselves in the message and they say, pastor talking about me. I can't go back to the church. Pastor not talking about you. Pastor is preaching some doctrine. Some doctrine makes some people. Listen what he says. Listen what the word says. They were prepared in order to blow them. The first blew the trumpet, and there was hair and fire mixed with blood, and it was thrown to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up. Listen to what you see. See, this is why we live in a borrowed time, because you're going to begin to see things. God is not just sitting up there and sitting on his hands doing nothing. God is observing all that is being done on the earth, on his earth. He created the earth, the heavens, the seas, everything he created for his glory. What are we doing with his earth and his heavens? And what are we doing? We're sending all kind of stuff trying to pierce the heavens. They said the United States set up a rocket like they want to pierce the heaven. Like they want to pierce the heavens, some nuclear weapon they were testing, and they send up like they want to pierce the heavens. They can't reach the heaven. They go up in the atmosphere, but they can't reach the heaven. The heaven is where God's throne is. You can't go in there. You can't pierce there with a rocket, a satellite system. Nothing. You can't do that. You can go up in the atmosphere, but you can't go into the heavens. He said, listen. He says, a third of the earth will be burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass were burned up. Verse 8 says, the second angel blew the trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures in the sea, the ones which had life, died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Do you hear? Destruction is coming. This is serious judgment that's coming from heaven. This is not the judgment of the president or the Congress or the senators or Supreme Court justice or some prime minister in some country. This is the judgment from the throne room of the sovereign Lord. This is why we are living on borrowed time, and we need to get serious about what we are preaching. All of this name it and claim it. Prosperity message that the people preaching. If you give me $1,000 and get in $1,000 line, I'm going to bless you. Like they got power to bless somebody, to bless it pass through you from God. But you don't have no power to make nobody rich. You can work some witchcraft and stuff. It's only going to last for a minute. But real power flows through God, from God to his servants. Real power. Hallelujah. Power that lasts. The one we talked about, Elijah. I talked about Elijah and when he read it and laid on that little boy. The boy that he prayed for the God to get to her, to the woman. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And life came into his body. But he talked to God first. He talked to God first for the power, for the life to come back into the boy. Hallelujah. We want to teach and preach like we got all this and we're doing all that. We're not living. You can't have power if you don't live, if you don't live right. Power not going to flow through you if you don't live right. Here, let's go back again. I'm in the Logos Bible. Listen what he said. Jesus, have mercy. Verse 10 says, hallelujah. The third angel blew the trumpet, and a great star burning like a torch fell from heaven, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star was called Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, bitter. And many people died from the waters because they were made bitter. The next waves of trumpets begins. Four of the seven trumpets are blown in this section. The attacks which came against nature and the cosmos are intended to lead simple humanity to repentance, not totally destroy them. Things are going to happen. People don't want to hear the gospel now. They say they're not interested in that Jesus stuff. They say they're living a good life. They mark crosses on their bodies, upside down crosses. They put pentagrams on them, upside down pentagrams. They have 666 on their hand and on their forehead. They even get to the point that they say they want to go to hell. They can't wait to go to hell. But when judgment begins to come from God, God is giving them time. See, borrow time. God will allow them some time, allow us some time, all of us, some time to get right. But when he released the angels, Jesus, hallelujah, when he released the heavenly host to come to begin to do his bidding, people are going to run for shelter. Many going to run. Some church folk are going to run for shelter too. Because they had a form of godliness and denied the power thereof. They weren't living holy. They were talking holy, but not living holy. They weren't walking holy. You remember the picture I told you all about, the rapture? When the preacher said he preached for 40 years and lead people to the cross, but he never went to the cross himself. But this is what's going to happen. Many going to say, Lord, Lord, I did this and did that in your name. And he going to say, depart from me, your work of iniquity. I never knew you were, because they weren't living. They weren't walking. They weren't proclaiming. They would learn the world system to dictate who they are. And Jesus tells us plain that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We're in this world. It's a mysterious talk that he says, spoken word. See, you're in this world, but you're not in this world. He's talking about your spirit man. Your spirit man is not connected to this. It's no longer connected to this world. Your flesh is trying to stay here, just like Lot's wife. You don't want to leave. Your flesh man don't want to leave this world. It still want to be connected to the nasty, slimy things that we used to do before we got saved. But God said clearly that you're in this world, but not of this world. You don't have the mindset of this world anymore. Your spirit man is towards heaven, focusing on a heavenly outcome. See? Your outcome going to be greater than the income. You understand? Because you have this mindset for heaven. Here he says very clearly, in order to blow them, it describes the commencement of judgment. John's imagery recalls several of the plagues from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 9, 22 to 25. Hail and fire mixed with blood correspond to Exodus. John adds blood to the hail and fire of the Exodus narrative. Verse 12, the fourth angel blew the trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and the day did not shine with respect to a third of it. In other words, it wasn't as bright as it was before. Hallelujah. When judgment comes, it's the earth, the atmosphere is going to change. Everything is going to change. When judgment of God begins, the atmosphere is going to change. It's just like you had a 120-watt bulb, and all of a sudden going down to a 40-watt bulb. It's not as bright as it was, because judgment is upon us, and it's coming. Because this Bible is unfolding before our very eyes, and you look around and see this stuff. We just had the homosexual LGBTQ one here in Massachusetts. They had a big organization, big celebration right here. We had the witches and the warlocks with downtown in some auditorium that they rent. Thousands of them came from all over Massachusetts, all over the United States of America. Some come from outside of celebrating LGBTQ one. You understand? So God is seeing all this stuff going on, the corruption that's taking place in the earth, the blasphemy that's taking place in the earth, that people are not worshiping him like before. They're worshiping other entities, namely Satan, Diablo, the devil, Beelzebub, all of the demonic forces they're worshiping. They're selling their souls for lucre, for money, for riches, instead of worshiping God who gives them everything free in abundance. Here, oh, glory to God. Here he says the third of the world was darkened, and a third, and the day did not shine with respect to a third of it. And the night likewise. And I looked, John's talking, and I looked and I heard one eagle flying directly overhead, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe, to those who live on the earth, from the remaining sounds of the trumpets of the three angels who are about to blow the trumpet." John said he heard this eagle wings spread out, I think they said, 18 feet, 14 to 18 feet, the wingspans. And he could hear his wings flapping over his head. And the angels were saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." And this is an indictment for the earth. That's where the woe is, an indictment for judgment. Judgment is coming on the earth. Hallelujah, glory to God. He says, and the remaining sounds of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to blow the trumpets. Listen. Here in the Logos Bible, the tree, the Exodus account, he is shattering the trees of the field. All the green grass were burned up, probably inclusive of all the green vegetation, as in the Exodus story, which saved all the plants of the field. Something like a green mountain was with fire, a great mountain with fire. John may be speaking of a volcano or meteors. Jews view the unexpected eruption of Mount Vesuvius as divine punishment on Rome for the event in 70 AD, when Titus, the entire Jerusalem, sacked the city, destroyed the temple, and killed many people. According to Jewish legend, God caused Vesuvius to erupt in recompense, destroying the Roman cities and Pompeii and Herculaneum, which were in Titus' jurisdiction. A third of the sea became blood, corresponds to Exodus chapter 7, verse 20 to 25. The waters may have become blood, red due to the fiery mountains. A third of the creatures in the sea, one third of the creatures of the sea, like that. Hallelujah. Ships were burned. the blood of the people are beginning to run out the ships into the oceans. This is what God is saying. We are going on cruise ships. Hundreds of people, if not thousands, on the cruise ships. Can you imagine the cruise ships on different oceans, different parts of the ocean, and all of a sudden these hailstones and fire and coming down from heaven, and the ships start to burn, and the blood from these ships, thousands of ships on the water, and all this blood going over the ocean, filling the ocean. You kind of understand. God says you got to get your life in order. It's time to stop playing church and become the church. This is what God is saying. It's time to stop playing repentance and be truly repentant. Hallelujah. Folks say, I repent. They repent for the hour while they're talking before the pastor, the bishop, the prophet, the prophets. You know, they know what I'm saying. They're crying and snorting at the nose and everything, saying they repent. And seconds after, soon they leave the building, they go back doing the same thing. Soon as they leave the church building, they're cussing out their neighbor, cussing out their family members. All this stuff is going on. And judgment is coming. We don't want to be caught undone. We that know the truth don't want to be caught undone. I'm telling you. I mean, I have to talk to people. Because guess what? I have to talk to people and ask for people forgiveness of things that I ain't even did. But you want to know that you're in line and your spirit man, your soul man is in line with God's word. Hallelujah. It don't have to be you. Repent. So you're being right standing with God because we don't know. I'm going to minister maybe one or two more days of this week if the Lord says the same. And then I'm going to relax in fasting. Before I get on that plane on Friday. Listen what God is saying here to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Where are we at? Revelation chapter 8. Let's look in there. This is a short book, but let's go here. Whew, glory to God. Chapter 8. And where we are. Verse 13. He said, I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound. This angel, I thought I said eagle, but this angel, in the book of the Logos Bible called him an eagle, but in the King James Version called him an angel. But they're waiting for the instructions to sound off. God is allowing us time. He's allowing us time, so it's just like you said, well, look, I'm going to go, but I got to wait. I got to wait for the right time. I got to wait for the right moment. And God said, I'm giving them time to get it together. So if he just give us what we deserve right now, we won't be able to stand. He's giving us time to hear the word, to hear the truth, and submit to the truth and commit to the truth. A lot of people are hearing the truth, but they're not submitting and they're not committing. And this is what God is calling for. He's calling for submission and commitment. Hallelujah. When we repent, we decide we go. We turn it for what we were doing. That's what repentance means. We are turning from the sinful lifestyle and turning to a righteous lifestyle, holy lifestyle. Glory to God. Chapter 9 of Revelation. Chapter 9. Chapter 9. Glory to God. And the fifth angel blew the trumpet. And I saw a star that had fallen from heaven to the earth, and the keys of the shaft of the abyss was given to him. And he opened And he opened the shaft of the abyss, and smoke went up from the shaft like smoke from a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke from the shaft. And out of the smoke, locusts came to the earth, and power was given to them like the scorpions on the earth have power. And it was told to them that they should not damage the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree except those people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And it was granted to them that they should not kill them, but that they would be tormented 5 months. And their torment is like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a person. Do you hear that? This is judgment that's coming from heaven to earth. And many people don't believe it. But this thing is happening. It's happening. The Bible talks about rivers in the desert. And it just said that somewhere over there in Syria, somewhere, where they never had water in the desert, all of a sudden water is springing up out the ground. Out the sand. You know, the desert is sand. It's not clear dirt. So all of a sudden, the book of Isaiah talks about it. Water is coming up out of the sand in the desert. It's making a lake in the desert. The Bible is unfolding. It all happened is that the world people are sleeping. They're listening to one governmental office that is telling them one thing. No, you got the right to love. You have the right to do this, even though it's not the kind of love that God recommends. Man with woman. Woman with man. Not woman with woman and man with man. But the government is telling them it's all right. And you don't have the right to teach your children. Like, I grew up in the Caribbean. And if I wore my behind out, and guess what? I had to go get the switch that she needed to whip me with. And if I didn't get the one that would really, really give me some burning, she'd go get one. I didn't want her to get one because she'd get a big one. And when she get a big one, she leaves wailings on my leg, on my behind, and I can't sit down. For days, I can't sit down. But today, these parents can't even chastise their kids because the neighbors will call the CPS, or whoever they call them, Child Protective Service, and will call them, and they will come and arrest the parents. They will come and take the children from the parents. So the children become like bad kids, bad kids. Because there's no chastising like the children. So it says, train of a child in the way it should go. When it grow up, it will not depart. You got a chance in the child right now. But the government's taking that away from you. You can't even tell the teachers how to test. They train the teachers how to treat your children, how to care for your children. Teach your children how to live a promiscuous lifestyle. You can't tell your children how to live godly, but the teachers can train them. And they have the right to. That's what the government is saying. They have the right to train your children. No, you have the right. You have the first and only right to train your children how to live. This is why the children are so bad today. Listen what he says. Glory to God. Oh, my God. I tell you, this thing is so heavy. Now, the smoke come up out the earth and locusts upon the earth. And upon them was given power. Unto them was given power. Scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. You hear that? The angels are coming to see a mark on us that said that we belong to God. Do you know there's a mark on you? If you're really living holy, righteous before the Lord, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's a mark on you. You can't see it. Natural man can't see it. But the heavenly host can see it. God allowed him to see the mark on you so that you wouldn't get destroyed with those that are worshiping Satan. Hallelujah, glory to God. That's a hallelujah place right there because I know there's a mark on me. There's a mark on those, you all that's on this line. that love the Lord, that is living for the Lord, is a mark on you. You can't see it. Even though you're going through some things, you're going through some physical things and some spiritual things, you still have the mark on you. Hallelujah. Because you're in this earth, you're going to have some trials and tribulations because Jesus said so. Say, but I'm born again. Why I have to go? God said so. He didn't keep his son from the trials of this earth. Why do you think he's going to keep us from it? We're going to go through too. But we make it through because of him. Excuse me. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said in Mark 1, verse 5 says, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that getting hit, sting by scorpion for 5 months? And that venom, they say when that venom getting you, it could kill you. But he said, don't kill them. So there must be some type of changing in the venom that's coming from these locusts. That looks like, it looks like a horse in the book. It said they look like a man, look like men. Hallelujah. And have tails like scorpions to sting you, to get, to drive you to your knees. How much must God do to us before we go to our knees in repentance? How much must he do? Because things are not working out our way, the way we want them to work out. We can't live for God. We can't be holy. We can't be righteous. Because I don't have the money that I want, I'm going to go and do things that I know I shouldn't do to get what I don't really need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. Listen. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, but death shall flee from them. Oh, God, you hear that? Death now has the wings. Death now has wings. See, death is a spirit. But now it has wings. It can flee from you. It can cling to you or it can flee from you. The Bible says so. He said that men are going to search for death. They want seeking to die, but can't die. God don't want them to die. God want them to repent. God want them to repent and come to him for salvation. Hallelujah. You ever seen people that's smoking crack cocaine or shooting methamphetamine, doing heroin and all that kind of stuff, and they want to die, but they can't die. They try everything to die. They shot up the worst stuff that they had out there on the drug corners and still can't die. And next thing you know, they save and preaching the gospel. I knew I had a guy that prayed for me. With a heroin addict, OD'd for several times. He said he thought he was going to die, wanted to die, and could die. Was one of the strongest anointed elders that I ever met in my lifetime. And he prayed for me in Salvation Army, pulled my hand and prayed for me. And I thought he was going to pray for God to take away the vice that I had, but he prayed for me to receive salvation. The blowing of the fifth trumpet, also called the first woe, is recorded in verses 1 to 12 of chapter 9. John described terrifying locusts unleashed upon the unrepentant oppressors for 5 months. As with the horses in the latter half of the chapter, the descriptions are meant to terrify and alarm the unrepentant. The imagery describing these creatures is borrowed from various portions of the Hebrew Bible. They're fallen from heaven. Fallen from heaven to earth stars are sometimes associated with angels. Chapter 1, verse 20. This figure may be the angel in verses 11, who is given charge over the events. The concept of a fallen star may suggest that the figure is Satan or one of his fallen angels. Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Revelation chapter 12 and 9. The key symbolized authority. The key given to him symbolized authority. So Satan has some authority. I want you to know that. Because you hear a lot of preachers say Satan don't have no power. He may not have no power to master God's power, but he has some power. That's why he can lead people into sinning. He come in and captivate their minds. He had me for a long time, I tell you. I thought I couldn't get off this stuff. I thought I couldn't put that stuff down. But I realized that the power of Jesus is greater than any power of any other entity, either man or beast. His power is greater. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. So we have some power too. We have some power to withstand the attacks, the temptation, the enticement of Satan. We have some power in us. We just have to stand flat-footed. I say it all the time. We can't tiptoe around and say, okay, you know when you're tiptoeing? You're complaining. You're murmuring. I can't do this. I don't know why this is not. No, just trust God. Nothing is going to work out on my time. Everything going to work out on God's time. Earthquakes happen when God says so. Lightning flash when God says so. Storms come when God says so. God says time for me to send a storm to wake these people up. Hallelujah. And sometimes people die so that other people will live. Sometimes people die. Some other people come to the cross. And they repent. They say, Lord, I'm sorry. They come and say, oh, Lord, I need to get closer to you. When they look and see their cousin and niece in that casket. And that person may be in the casket. I had a knowledge of who Christ is. No Christ. They were saved. And then they're unsaved. Will be gripped in their heart to come and say, I want to receive salvation right at that homegoing service. God does. The abyss is where demons and fallen angels were taught to be kept. The underworld is called the underworld. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, Jude 6, the ancient Jewish word, Enoch, in the book of Enoch, chapter 90, verse 22 to 27. Smoke went up from the shaft, from the abyss, from hell, reflects the notion of the underworld, a place of burning and judgment. Mark chapter 9, verse 47 and 48. Smoke could also be figurative, describing the appearance of the locust hurrying out of the abyss. The locust echoes in Exodus chapter 10, verse 12 to 15. The locust, the imagery of the locust is used in the Old Testament for invading armies. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 27. Nahum chapter 3 and 15. Power, excuse me, power was given to them. They have been commissioned as agents of judgment and wrath, possibly referring to their ability to inflict pain. Revelation chapter 9, verse 5 and 10. God gives the locust power to release judgment on the earth. They have the power. This is the judgment of God using the locust to get man's attention. There's things that are going to happen in the next year or so in this country and in the world that all these people see running from the church, running from God, they're going to try to find God. They're going to try to find God. Some going to want to die, just like the Bible says, but death's going to flee from them. And they're going to find themselves repenting, coming on their knees to seek God. Truly seek him. I remember when 9/11, we were living in Virginia. And my God, I was going to Holy Scripture Church. My pastor just passed away a few months ago. He's 90-something year, 95 or 96. And we got a nice-sized church. Nice edifice, nice sanctuary. Church is completely paid off. He built that church with his own hands. And nice church, beautiful. Particular weekend, you couldn't get a seat. I don't care, unless you got there early. But if you said you was coming at 11:30 in church, start at 11 o'clock. You know, they got choir going on, praise and worship singing. You couldn't get a seat in there because they got scared. The nation was scared. They thought that it was the end of the world. It was coming. Buildings was falling down in different states from the airplanes. The Pentagon was hit. That is, the government had called us for distribution of all the different forces, and that was hit. The next week, the next 2 weeks, you could walk into church anytime and find a seat, because they realized it was in the end. Excuse me. And this is what's happening now. People are doing what they want to do, acting the way they want to act. And here God says, you're living on borrowed time. I'm watching you. I'm giving you a space to get your life together. Listen. Listen what he says. Glory to God. Power was given to these locusts. The passive voice indicates that the authority to act comes from someone else. God. 5 months, the lifespan of locusts, which hatch in the springtime and die near the end of summer. For the 5 months that the locust is alive, they are allowed to torment mankind. So mankind has an allotted time, and a lot of time to get to know God, to come and repent, to turn to God. That's time. That's a long time. We give people 2 days. If they don't say they're sorry, we say, I'm through with you. I'm finished. I'm done. We give up. We don't even want to be part of them. 2 days. God gave us five long months, the lifespan of the locust, to repent and turn to him. While we are living a sinful lifestyle, and he's a holy God, he's holding back his wrath, the full force of his wrath, from destroying mankind. He gave Sodom and Gomorrah time. Abraham was talking to God, bargaining with God for Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, God, if you find 50 people, will you destroy them? If you find 45 people, if you find 30 people, if you find 20 people, if you find 10 people, if you find just a few people, if you just find 10. And God said, well, I find 10 people, 10 righteous people. Abraham was bargaining with God. And God said, if I just find. God is looking for people that would turn to him. It's sad to see how many people are going to die and go to hell because they don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in the truth because the truth has not been taught to them. Most of these young people come up never heard about the crucifixion, never knew that Jesus went to the cross and died for their sins. Most of them. All they think about is going to the club, dancing, sexing, eating, drinking, all this stuff they think about. It's good if you raise up your child, your grandchild, to know Jesus, your great-grandchildren, because I'm telling you something. This is what's going to save their life. The word of God. Salvation is real. Hell is real. Hell, the destruction of mankind in hell is real. Because Satan don't desire to be there with Jesus. He know his agents. He know the ones who are working for him. He know the ones who came from heaven to hell with him. That he don't want to have them alone. He want to have some of the people that God has chosen. That's why he's bombarding the church all the time. And he's causing these pastors to go astray. A lot of them that you call us, I love to hear that preacher preach. I love Bishop so-and-so. I love Apostle so-and-so. I love Chief Apostle this body. And you will turn up with them. No, I turn up by the word of God. Because Satan is so slick and so divisive Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at the state that our nation is. Look, the state that our nation is. Worse, you know, worse than any time before our nation is right now. And you have people say, oh, yeah, I can't stand Trump because he grabbed some woman or talked something to a woman. But they go and sign with the devil. They sign with abortion clinics. They sign with homosexual and lesbians. That's what they sign up with. Save people. Satan is smart, man. Listen what he says. Listen to this. God giving us 5 months, 5 whole months. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's not only going to be scorpions. He talks about the hailstones, thunder and the lightning and the earthquakes, all this stuff in the back there. In Matthew chapter 24, it's all there. Hallelujah. It's all in Jeremiah. It's all in Daniel, in Amos. These books that tell you, prophetic books that tell you all the things that's going to happen to take us out if we don't repent. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 9, 5 months period tortured and suffering. People will seek death repeated in the fallen clause for emphasis. The pain will be so great that they will prefer to die, but the stains will not be fatal. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 3. The angel of the abyss, Revelation chapter 1, chapter 9 and 1, is the fifth angel in the bottomless pit. Shouted, I saw the star fall, the fifth angel. He saw when Satan was kicked out of heaven into the abyss. Abaddon, a Hebrew name for the place of the dead. Or Hades, meaning destruction. This place is sometimes mentioned in the Hebrew town in parallel with Sheol. Job 26 and 6. Proverbs 15 and 11. Proverbs 27 and 20. Apollyon means destroyer. This may indicate a connection to the Greek god Apollo, for whom the locust was often used as a symbol. Domitian, who may have been the emperor of the time Revelation was written, thought of himself as Apollo incarnate. Thus, this may be John's way of presenting worship of the emperor as evil and demonic. Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 to 21. The sixth trumpet releases another four angels tasked with killing a third of the remaining population. All of this going to happen, believe it or not, because God had it pinned down. God allowed John, Apostle John, to write this thing down. Remember, Jesus got this revelation from God. And it said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which means Jesus is the revelator, not John. John is the scribe. I say this all the time. Because you know how a lot of highfalutin preachers say, oh, I heard the revelator, John. No, John is not the revelator. John is the scribe. Jesus is the revelator. He said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto the servant, his servant, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. See, so you see, Jesus is the revelator. And he sent that word to John so that we can have the manuscript so we don't fall into this thing. The Bible says the sixth trumpet releases another four angels tasked with killing a third of the remaining population. They bring an army of 200 million to assist in the slaughter. Jesus have mercy. I wouldn't want to be in living in that day. Do you hear what they did? They bring an army of 2 million angels to assist in the slaughter. The outlook is bleak for those who oppress the people of God. Revelation chapter 6 and 2. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. One voice, perhaps one of the martyrs under the altar, or the angel with the censer, in chapter 6 of Revelation, verse 9 to 11, chapter 8, verse 3 to 5. In either case, the sixth trumpet is presented as a response to the praise of the saints. This is why you don't stop praying. Stuff is going to happen, but you got to pray. Because when you pray for people, pray for the world. Don't just pray for your church family. Don't just pray for your immediate kinfolk. Pray for those that are on the street corner. Pray for the prostitute, for the homosexual, for the lesbian. Pray for the drug dealer. Pray, oh my God, pray for the pimps. Pray for the sex traffickers, oh God, the human traffickers, or the body part traffickers. Pray for them all. Pray for the unsaved. Hallelujah. Because it's praise that's going to go before God. The angel is going to take your praise in the senses, heavenly censer before God, burning with the incense of heaven, and they're going to bring them before God. God's going to hear the praise of the righteous. Hallelujah. Well, oh God, I need a new car. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I can make it with this old car or this car. This car's 13 years old. What I'm going to do, God, pray for me to get a new car. Hallelujah. We're singing that song. God know how old your car is. But there's people dying and going to heaven. You're wondering about getting a new car. You're wondering about getting a new house. Somebody called me the other day and said, I need to pray for me. They got a nice place. In another country, they got a nice place. From what I heard, I never seen their place, but they said they got a nice place. But they're praying now. They're praying now for, they want to have their own house. Hallelujah. It's something I can't say. But they have said before the prayer to God, said, Lord, give me some words. Lord, impart wisdom and revelation so I can reach the lost, I can reach the poor, the widows, the needy. All they're concerned is getting more of this stuff, this worldly stuff. Worldly stuff that's not gonna last. Man, I wanna know how to listen to this, to the Holy Spirit, and hear what the Spirit is saying, so that the word that I put out there on this Blog Talk Radio. Now, I don't have any notes. I don't have a scripture that I'm going by. And a little narration from Logos and the Holy Ghost. And I hope that I say something that somebody say today. Man, all this stuff I'm saying, the rest, when they go back and look in the book of Revelation, see all this, I say, man, I got to get my life together. I got to stop playing with church. I got to stop playing church. I got to become the church, because it's not the building. God is not coming for a building. He's not coming for buildings. He's coming for people. He's coming for people that are sold out, who has given their soul to him. That's who he's coming for. Not for the building. The building's not the church. You're not going to church. You're the church. You're going to fellowship with other church members, other bodies of the church. Listen to what he says. People are going to flee to die. They want to die, but can't die. Death going to flee away from you. What, can you imagine that? That death got to take on wings. The easternmost border of the Roman Empire, the Euphrates, protected the Romans from their eastern enemy, the Parthians, had been prepared. They were made and appointed for a specific task at a specific time. I want you to know that these locust-like, human-like, figures that going to come on the earth. I remember in Virginia, we had them here since I was here too, since I was here in Massachusetts. We had the locusts come. And when they came, man, they were all over the window. Man, and if you move, they come and hit the window and they bust open, and you move the windshield wiping, all their mess, all their inside, just stain the whole window, you can't see. Even when you use a window washer, don't want to come off. You got to go through the car wash. They come by the millions, all over the house, all over the windows, the backyard, the front yard, all over the lawn. They're eating everything up. And these ones, they said they're going to look like horses, like a man, like men. Big like horses, like man. Oh, my God, I don't want to be in that time. I tell the truth. I pray that God take me out of this place before that time comes. He says, they shall kill a third of humanity. Their portion is in addition to the one-fourth already killed by death and Hades. In chapter 6, verse 8, the effects of the judgment are intensifying. It's getting greater. Hallelujah. Judgment will get greater because sin will get greater. Hallelujah. Judgment will be greater because sin is getting greater. Hallelujah. People are actually looking in the face of God and mocking God. Lady get on here, then they had the witches and warlocks here in Massachusetts in that big, some big auditorium down Boston. One caught kids and lady got on. She was, they recorded her, so they had it on YouTube. And she was on there and taking the King James Bible. And she was tearing up and said, the Bible is a bunch of this and a bunch of that. And, I mean, she was mocking God. If you don't believe in this, if you don't believe in that, I mean, call out on Jehovah. And these people are going to have to pay. They're not going to escape. Unless for some reason, because God says not his desire that any would perish. For some reason that they heard the word, they hear the word of God and repent. Because God can save anybody. He can save, if he saved me, he can save anybody. Anyone that called upon him and repents, he will save. This is the God that they serve. We are almost finished. The Bible says, 17, verse 17, the description of the demonic hordes recalls the description of the locusts in verse 7 to 9. By these three plagues, the fire, the smoke, and the sulfur had a plague-like effect, killing one-third mentioned in verse 15. They did not repent, despite clear demonstrations of God's power, prolonged anguish, fragments, and other worldly attacks, they still would not turn to God and give him glory and repent on their idolatry, of their idolatry. People are still living the life that they want to live. So judgment has to get greater. As I said, judgment has to get greater. The demons and the gold. John equates idol worship to demon worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 and 22. The reminiscence of Isaiah 44 and verse 18. Daniel chapter 5, verse 23. They did not repent. The four D's in this list are associated with pagan religious practices. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 12, and verse 3 to 6. People will not repent. Go to Matthew chapter 9, in the King James Version. Matthew chapter 9. We're talking about living on borrowed time. People are out there, man, and you're saying, I see some people yesterday, Lord, I just was scrolling through my computer, and I saw they was having a party, a street party in Florida. And I was looking at these African-American ladies. And my God, they had everything hanging out. Some had the jean shorts cut off so bad. I know they didn't buy them at the store like that. They were cut off so bad that all they had from the jeans was a string from the back of the jeans going up through the butt cheeks. And a big little thing coming off the jeans in the front. And on the side. They cut them up with a scissors or whatever, a knife or whatever, razor blade. Because this is what they have. They said, this is fun. This is me. I'm having a good time. Living a promiscuous lifestyle. Showing all of my stuff. That then you wonder why they're not getting married. Men going to have sex with them, but they don't want them for a wife. They'd be a plaything, but they don't want them for a wife. Here he says, But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, this is the key right here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. The Pharisees and the scribes are trying to come against Jesus. The publicans, the Pharisees, the scribes. All these people are supposed to know the word of God. But Jesus is reaching down, way down in the Mary clique. He's reaching way down to reach that sinner that's lost in sin. And they're wondering why he is messing with the sinners. He had to let them know. He ain't come for the ones that think they got it together. He come for the ones that know that they need a Savior. Imagine that. So he have to reach way down in the clique. He has to go in the place that nobody else wants to go, in the crack house, the whole house. He has to go in the lanes then to pull them out. This is what Jesus did. Hallelujah. So he let them know. Go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, I got to give you some more of this. Holy Spirit, like he wants me to go somewhere tomorrow. So the Lord say the same. We got to go. Psalm 51. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this is what he says, verse 1 to 10. We're going to read these. David said, have mercy on me according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David is repenting. This is the prayer of repentance, the psalm of repentance. This is what David is doing. Because he was accused by Nathan the prophet after he had got Bathsheba pregnant and sent her husband Uriah to the forefront of the battle to be killed so he could have Bathsheba for his own while he already had wives. But he got her pregnant and God took the child from him. The child got sick and the sickness went to death. He could have been saved, but God said, no, I can't allow this bastard to live. And I can't allow him to live. The Lord loved David, but he didn't love David's seed. And we got to love people the same way, but they sin. People want you. They don't believe you love them because you're not in agreement with their sin. The moment you're in agreement, oh, that's okay. That's sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. I know her for a long time. And they don't trouble me that they're gay. Don't trouble me that they're gambling. Don't trouble me that they're fornicating the community. Don't trouble me that they're lying. Don't trouble me that they're stealing. They're all right with me. No, you're in agreement with sin. The Bible says two cannot walk together unless they're in agreement. We cannot be in agreement with sin. S-I-N, any sin, not just the lesbian or homosexual, because that's what we focus on, the lesbian or homosexual. But sin is what we got to focus on. Somebody come by and scratching up people's cars and cutting their tires, you can't be in agreement with that. That's sin. Somebody throwing eggs or toilet paper in front of somebody's house on their lawn and on the street and making it look. That's sin. You can't be in agreement with that stuff. He said, David says, against thee. That's what he says. He said, no. Go back to verse 2. He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. See what David doing? He's repenting. This is what God is calling for now. We are living on borrowed time. So God wants, giving us time to repent and turn to him. And then David said to the Lord, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He's telling God, you got the right to do with me whatever you want to, however you want to. Break me, mold me, shape me, whatever you want to, because I've sinned against you. Not against my wives, not against my father, not against my mother, not against my son and daughters. Hallelujah. He said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou deservest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. See what God is looking for. It's righteousness on the inside. Not on the outside. We dress up in fancy clothes, drive a nice car, clean car, nice shoes. We're going to the best restaurants. We're doing all this stuff. And God says, that's not what he's looking for. He said, that's not what he's looking for. What he's looking for is a clean heart. He's looking for a clean heart. That's what he's looking for. Hallelujah. Clean heart is what he's looking for. So David came to the Lord, and he began to repent. He began to lay it before the Lord. That's why the Lord said that David, that he loved David, that David was a man after his own heart. He was a man after his own heart. Why? Because he had a heart of repentance. He realized that he was sinful. He said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part and in the hidden parts, that thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He said, purge me. In other words, clean me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Do you know when the Lord is judging you, you feel like you're broken. You feel like you're broken on the inside because there's no joy. When you feel like he has departed from you, he's left you. He never leave you. But you know that because you haven't been walking up right before him, you feel like he left you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So David said to him, hide thy face from my sin and blot out all my transgressions. Listen to David. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David wanted to be changed from the inside. He was king. He could have anything. Any type of garment he could have. But what he didn't have was the Lord. Hallelujah. Because his sin had separated him from God. But he was seeking God with everything that was within him. He wanted to be close to God. The world is far from God right now because they're doing their own thing. You got family members. We got family members that are far from us. They believe in what they're doing, and that's all they want to do. Go to Romans. That's all they want to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A few more scriptures in here. Let's see what we got here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans. Let's see what he says. He says, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, let's start at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. You see, Israel had become stiff-necked, hard-hearted, proud, had their own way of doing things. So God had turned to the Gentiles. So the Gentiles can receive the gift of salvation. And Israel is still doing mighty works. But this will show them, because he says it, for the gifts and calling of God is without repentance. But he says, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is talking about Jesus coming out of Israel. He says, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, and as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gift of and calling of God is without repentance. See, you can be anointed. You can have the gifts of preaching and teaching, even though you have an unrepentant heart, so you can be lost. People preaching say, well, he's preaching with anointing. No, he has the gifts. He has the gifts. This is why he says, my word shall not return void. Go to Ezekiel chapter 14. You see preaching, and it seems like fire. I tell you, I always go back to that rapture, that movie. That movie is blowing my heart up. And I said, so man, that you can preach the word for 40 years and go to hell. For 40 years, you're going to the church building and say, oh, I'm part of this church. I'm a pastor at this church. I'm an assistant pastor at this church now, you know. But your lifestyle is not a lifestyle of a pastor. So people are coming to God because you're teaching. You know the word. You know the word. People are coming to God because we're teaching and preaching. But what? The teaching and preaching is not doing anything for us. People are getting saved. People are getting delivered. People are getting healed because the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than two-edged sword. The word is going to do what it's going to do. It's not going to return void. And you say, well, I'm preaching all this preaching. But guess what? Nothing's not happening to our soul because we have not had an encounter with him. Remember Paul with Saul. He thought he was doing God's work. When he was arresting and going to the priest and getting letters from the priest to go and arrest Christians, he thought he was doing God's work until he had an encounter with God. And it's the same way with us. Until we have an encounter with God, we will not have a relationship of knowing who he is. We will always only know of him. And what he wants to do is have a spiritual encounter with us so we develop that relationship with him that we want to live holy as he is holy. Listen to what he says. In Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 8. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. This is the false prophet that he's talking about. The one who claims to know God but don't really know him and cause the people to err, God's people. Read the whole chapter for yourself. I just pull it out. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 24. We're talking about living on borrowed time. You're preaching the gospel. We're preaching the gospel, but we are not trying to get close to God. We just want to sound holy, look holy. But we're not close to him. We want to get close to him. Lord, draw me closer. Closer. I hear the people, old folks, you see, when the roll is called up yonder, I want to be in that number. When the roll is called up, Lord, when he's calling, make the roll call in heaven, I want to be in that number. So being that number, I got to live. We got to live. Hallelujah. We got to try. Ezekiel 24 and 14. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back. Neither will I spare. Neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings, shall they judge thee, says the Lord God. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither there shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind the terror of thine head as a turban upon thee, and put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, And at evening, my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. And the people said unto me, Wilt thou not tell us what things are to us, that thou shalt do so? Then I asked them, the word of the Lord came unto me, Speak unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your souls pitieth, and your sons and your daughters, whom you have left, shall fall by the sword. Listen, see, when the wickedness of the people come before God, even their children will suffer. This is why we want to repent. This is why we want to turn completely to God. Go to Jeremiah chapter 18. We want to turn completely to God and ask God to renew our hearts. Give us the right spirit. We want to go before God in humility, not like we deserve what we're asking for. We go in humbleness of heart, humbleness of mind. Hallelujah. We think that we did something that God had to give us, had to do this for us. No. I don't deserve the life that he gives to me. I don't deserve the peace that he gives to me, but he gives to me anyway. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from the evil, I will repent of the evil that I taught to do unto them. Here God speaking to Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 8. He says, verse 9 says, And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant. Listen to God speaking. And if they do evil in my sight, that I obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good, wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do his imagination of his evil heart. Do you hear that? God sent out this word to the prophet, to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Hallelujah. To turn from their ways, their evil ways. And the people say to the prophet, we don't have no hope. In other words, we're not trusting in no God. We're going to do what we want to do. Isn't that you look at the people in our own country, in our own nation, and that's what the people are saying. We don't believe in the preacher anymore. We don't want to hear the preacher no more. We don't trust the preacher no more. So we're going to do what we want to do. Go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 23. And God wants, if you read that scripture, God wants to save the people so much. All right, where you going? Okay. So God wants to save his people. All the people of the world is God. He created everybody with his own hands. And God don't want Satan to be down there having fun and mocking him. You know, because Satan, the devil mocks God every time that, especially when a preacher turns away and decides he's going into the world, because Satan entices him with gold watches and gold chains and gold bangles and all this kind of stuff and nice fancy cars and big homes and ships and boats and all that kind of stuff. Satan and his agents mock God. And you can hear them say, you thought you had them saved, but look at that. They're working for me now. And preachers are doing that because they're so fancy the world system, the money and the glory of this world. This stuff only lasts for time. One Caucasian woman tried to rebuke me on Facebook. I had to let her know, call her a witch. I call her a witch too. She says I was talking about the African American mayor in Washington D.C. with her big million-dollar home, and ain't doing nothing for the poor people in Washington D.C. You know, nothing she doing for the people. You know, cause she caught up. She's a Democrat. I mean, I don't care about Democrat or Republican, but you know, if you're in office, work for your people. They elected you to work for them. And a lot of these all of them, Republican and Democrat, all they do is think about themselves. No, I get worse every day from Democrat and Republican. All of them begging me for money. And every time I write, stop. Don't. All of them. Don't send me no more invites. No, no more this, no more that. Don't ask me for nothing because I'm not donating to nobody. You know, they're thinking about themselves. And God said, no, you're in the office to think about the people, to take care of the people. So I told you about that. I said, I thought that they need a new mirror. And this Caucasian lady told me that I have a nerve. She saw me on Facebook begging people for money. And I stand in front of that fancy car. Well, I had to let her know. Everything that I have because of God. And I work for it. Ain't nobody give me no tithes and offering. I went to the place and made a down payment on that truck. So I let her know. I call her a witch. I call her a witch. And I tell her she ain't know who she messing with. And she needs to get off of my case. You know. So, and I blocked her off my page. Because, you know, God tell me to put it on there, and I put it on there that this is this is his vehicle, this is his chariot that I ride. I didn't say it with David Callen. When I say it's God's chariot, because I got it because he gave it to me. And this chapter, I told Numbers 23 and verse 19. Let me see what it says. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said it, and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall it not come to pass? Shall it not make good? Shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither have he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. See, God said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And God is not going to be in agreement with any sin. It don't care who is doing it. Go to 1 Samuel. This is what you have to do. This is where I highlight the scriptures. And you know, go to 1 Samuel. Glory to God. Glory to God. King James Version, 1 Samuel chapter 15. And see, when we repent, and we really repent, I'm talking about really repent, that means that we turn it from sin. We see that things start happening in our lives. And we wondered, wow, we don't realize it's because that we repent. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29, he said, also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Hear what he's saying. And also the strength of Israel will not lie, nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. In other words, he's saying the strength of Israel is the Lord. He will not lie, and he will not repent. He will not change his mind. God will not change his mind. We don't want to change and do, we don't want to do what God said to do, but we want God to change his mind to please us. God will not go to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. 90. Psalm. This is a powerful psalm. I like this psalm. I really do. Got a lot of good nuggets in it. And the King James Version, I'm almost finished. Almost finished. Maybe one more scripture after this, maybe, and we are done. Psalm 90. Hallelujah. And Brother Deacon and I went on there last night, and they said there was one person on there, which I guess was you, but I didn't hear your voice, so I got back off. But I pray that you'll be on tonight, so I... Yeah, where's tonight? Okay. Yeah, tonight, so I can come on and fellowship with you. Anyway, today I feel like Sunday, but it's Saturday. Psalm 90. One minute. You got a bone over there, man. Let me see who is knocking in. 1 minute. Yeah. So, glory to God. One more scripture. Let me see where I'm at. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's my Bluetooth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. I had to order Bluetooth because my Bluetooth messed up, so I had to put it in the trash. Psalm 90 and verse 13. He said, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. David, no, this is Moses. Moses was crying out to the Lord concerning the Israelites. You know, we are just like the Israelites. We become stiff. Necked and hardened hearts. And we believe that God should just come and forgive us while we are still doing what we are doing. We don't want to turn from our wicked ways. And he said, if my people which are called by my name, his name, would humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from the wicked way, he said that he would hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. But we don't want to do that. David said, Moses said, teach us to number our days that we may apply a heart of unto wisdom. We may apply our hearts to wisdom. We need to get to that place where we're truly seeking God for greater understanding that we might do his will and not our will. None of us are in place in the spirit and walk in our walk with God that we are not where we really, really want to be. None of us, I mean, all of us can say that. I am not where I want to be in God yet. I can tell you the truth. I'm not where I want to be yet. But I thank God that I'm not where I used to be in the world. You know, but he is changing me and drawing me closer and closer every time. You know, Moses says, return, O Lord. How long? He asked God a question. How long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servant. Have pity. That's what he's saying. Have pity on them. They need your grace. They need your mercy. This is why I tell you this morning that we are living on borrowed time. The grace and mercy of God. Unmerited favor we are living on right now. Psalm 110. This is the last scripture. And we are going home. Last scripture, we are going home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are going to pray. Open the line. Anybody want to respond? Respond or don't. We thank you for being here with us. We just bless God for you. We appreciate you so much. Hallelujah. Pray for the people of God. Psalm 110, verse 4. Listen to the psalmist, Psalm of David. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Talking about Jesus. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the head over many countries. Do you hear that? The head. He shall wound the heads over many countries. That means leaders. He gonna break them. God said that, not David Candler. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up his head. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 24. I just heard that. So let's put this in here. And we'll put this in here, short song, and then we'll go home. We'll pray. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him and seek thy face, O Lord. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Father, we thank you and we praise you for today. Lord, allow us to partake of Holy Communion today to bless your people with the word. Lord, you blessed me with this word last night, and you are blessing me again today even to reminisce on this word. We pray, Father God, that as we leave this line today, we open this line that anyone that wants to respond, give them an opportunity. Lord, we ask you to touch the hearts and minds of the people near and far that will hear this word, that hear it today, that will hear it at another moment. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you allow this word to germinate in us. Be in us, O God, that we hear and that we live, that we speak, O God, this word. Lord, that this word become the very essence of who we are. Lord, that we don't just be hearers of this word that we were spoken to us today, but we become doers of this word. Father, we ask you to bless those that are on the line now and bless those that will seek out your word. Lord, touch Brother Deacon Fraser, Minister Buckner, touch Apostle Stewart, and Lord, let your word, God, continue to be a lamp, a light and lamp unto our feet. Father God, we are praying for this anointing that you allow us to experience today. God, that those that heard us today receive it today, and that it make a difference in their ministries, oh God. We bless your holy name today, Lord. Thank you for Bishop James Washington, Apostle Linda Washington. We thank you for Apostle Millie Jefferson, Evangelist Darlene Campbell, Evangelist Carl Brown, Pastor Brown, Evangelist, oh God, Sheila, Evangelist Tina Wilson, Prophetess Jackie Tessel. We thank you for Apostle LeGrand and Evangelist Curtis and Evangelist Blanche. We thank you for all those that, and Apostle Apostle Victor Myers. We thank you for Pastor Goodish over in India, Apostle David Melwar in Kenya. We thank you, Father God, for the men and women of God, Apostle David Akhtuwara in Ghana. We thank you for him. We thank you for all those that are part of what we do here on Blog Talk Radio. There's many that I may not have called their names, but Lord, you know their names. You know that we care for them, even if we don't call their name. We are our memory of all the people. I'm not like Brother Deacon Fraser. So God, we ask you, don't let them hold this, hold it to us, hold it against us that we didn't call their name. But we thank God for all you all that are part of Blog Talk Ministry. We really do. We thank God for you. And we pray that you continue to seek God with everything that's within you. Seek God. You know, don't allow what people say or people do to deter you from seeking God. I ask you to seek him with everything that's within you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because the enemy come to kill, steal, and destroy. And the enemy would bring things against you and against me so that he can stop us from fellowshipping. I declare this today, that your ministry should become stronger, will become stronger than you even thought that it will, because God has called you to the ministry of reconciliation. Trust him. Depend on him. Rely on him. Hallelujah. I see God doing things to me that I never expect God to do. I see God doing things to me that is blowing my mind, you know, because, you know, when we were planning on going to spend time with my sister, and I know some preachers that I'm going to get to preach at their church, apostles back in the country, pastors, that I never thought I'd be, I didn't thought I would be able, because the money wasn't coming. You know, we were making ends meet, but the money wasn't coming to do this. And then we got a job to make more than enough money. And we helping people at the same time. And all of a sudden, as I was talking to Apostle Washington's daughter to get to do the trip for me as an agent, because I figured she'd get some type of you know what we call it. I can't find a word. She gets some kind of service pay from doing the work. But then the Lord says, just go ahead and look at it for myself. After she had given me all the information, I called her and I thanked her for her work. She did great work. And I love that girl, Sian. I went on and looked on the, and all of a sudden, the lady told me, she says, she was going to say, Callie, you don't have to pay for the flight now. You know, she said, you can apply for a credit card and we'll give you, you'll get a credit card because your credit is good, but credit is over 700, 7 something, 714 or 720 or something like that. And, she said, no, you can apply for it, and I'm sure where your credit, you get a credit card. And I remember years ago, I applied for credit cards, airline credit card, and they tell me that they couldn't afford to give me a credit card at that time. You know, they're very nice how they talk to you. They don't try to make you feel bad. So, oh, we can't afford to grant you a credit card at this time, you know. So, but I didn't ask for a credit card. Didn't want a credit card because I had the money to buy it, to pay for my flight. But God said, no, don't spend the money now. You know, he said, don't spend the money you have now. I said, I'm making a way for you. And I got the credit card. And I was able to put the flight on there. And then they sent me back and said, well, they wanted to give me now, move the credit card from one phase to another phase, you know, from that ordinary credit card to what they call the plus, I said, okay. I didn't know what it meant, but it just ended up making a little, giving me a greater advantage of different little checks and balances on it so that I can I get all these little extra gifts from the credit card. I said, well, praise the Lord. God will do that stuff for you. When you begin to walk up right before him, and don't be afraid that when you come up short, don't be afraid for when you come up short to go before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did this, I did that. Go before him. You got mad, you get upset. You be mad and all this stuff is coming. You're allowing the enemy to use your mind and stuff. No, don't go before God. David was in the cave hiding from Saul. And as he in the cave hiding, he couldn't write. Hiding from Saul, hiding from Absalom, his son. He couldn't write. He wouldn't hear from God. So he couldn't write nothing. And he decided to write that Psalm 51. When he heard, that's the first thing he did, was write Psalm 51. Repenting. God said, he's a man after my own heart, after his own heart. And God, David began to flow like never before because now he's hearing. And that's what God is calling for, not for some stubborn child to think that he's all this and all that. God wants us to repent. Repent and turn to him. And guess what happened? God is right there. God ain't gone nowhere. He's right there waiting on us. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for Minister Buckworth and this, and Brother Deacon Fraser. And Lord, for anyone that the West elder that came on and jump off, we thank you for them too, because they heard the word. You know, we pray, Father God, blessings over everyone that heard this word today and those that would hear it. And now, Father, as we make a determination to open this line for anyone that want to encourage, we ask you to bless the ear with. Know that everything that we say is a help to somebody that's listening. We ask you, God, all this in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for the airlines today. Every airline, every plane that's in the atmosphere right now, Father, we lift up before you because we know somebody's going somewhere. We ask for protections in the air. We ask for protections on the water, on the trailway, on the busway, on the highways. We ask for protection right now, Lord God. Don't let the enemy rejoice over a death that took place that of somebody on the highway that didn't know you. But, Lord, give them an opportunity to get to know your son, Jesus, Father God. Give them an opportunity to know your son, Jesus, by saving their life, by protecting the highways. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Now the Blog Talk Radio talk line is open for anyone that want to come on and encourage, say your peace. God bless you and God keep you. God make his face shine upon you. The line is now open.
Good afternoon, Apostle.
Good afternoon, Minister.
How are you? God bless you.
I am here.
I'm sorry, I'm driving. I'm driving right now, so the signal is going in and out with the rain and the volume. But I heard the word, and I thank God for the word. I just thank God for life as a whole and for all that he's been doing, you know, in my life and in everyone's life, just what he's been doing as a whole, you know, for the victories, for the blessing, for the completion. You know, none of this is possible without God, and I thank God for this word. You could call your dad and let him know, or text him. You know, I thank God for the word, because the word that you spoke today is a true word. It's a blessed word. It's a needed word. And, you know, you said something that, you know, we all have to make sure that we're not just speaking these scriptures, speaking the word of God, and not living it. And I thank God, because every day, you know, each day that I wake up, I ask God to allow his word to become alive in my life, that I'm not just reading the word in the morning or hearing the word and I'm not activating this word in my life. And like you said, tomorrow's not promised. That's what I got from the word. Tomorrow's not promised. So the next minute is not promised. The next second is not promised. So we have to make sure that we stay connected to God, and we stay connected to God in the word. We stay connected to God by going to him, by, like you said just now, completely trusting, perfectly dependent on him to do everything that we need to guide us as we go. This is all that I got from the word today. Just trust in God wholeheartedly. Trust in him wholeheartedly, and we will not fail. When things are not the way it's supposed to, and when you're hearing things or seeing things and things don't look the way it does, turn to God, and he will give you the answer. He will lead you in the right path. He will not allow you to deviate, even when we want to deviate. I'm grateful to God I graduated. I'm grateful to God that things are coming along in my life. I'm still moving around and putting stuff together that needs to be put together. I hear that you're traveling. I'm also traveling, you know, and will be continue to take some time just to get myself in order. But, you know, everything we do, we have to get it co-signed. We have to get it first checked off with God before we make a move. Because when we don't trust God, and when we don't put God in the center of what we do, in our lives, in our relationships, in every situation, things are going to not hold together. It will not go together. We will constantly keep stressing and worrying. Even though things don't go the way we want it to go and we feel the pressure, I always say in the word, I think it's in Isaiah 42, where he says, you know, the water will not come over you, the fire will not touch you. You know, you could go through the fire, we will pass through the water, we will pass through the river, we will pass through. But in all situations, we have to make that decision to live that life for God and to hold on to him and trust in him. Even when we're sitting in service on Sundays or Tuesdays or Wednesdays or whatever day we're there, we have to come to God and ask God, this word, Lord, that I'm hearing, let it be true, and let it be true in my life. So I really bless you. I really thank God for this word and for all that he has done. You know, this year has been a struggling year in and out, but through it all, I'm making it through. I'm not saying it's done, because we're only 6 months in. It feels like I've been in this year for a whole year, but I'm making it through, and we will continue to stand and trust in God, because only he has all the answers. So again, I thank God for this word. I love you. Have a safe trip of Paschal. I'm glad that you're actually taking time off, and I give God the glory for your life. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. I'm going to Barbados. I'll be there on Friday. So we are excited about that.
Amen.
My sister's more excited than I am when I call and tell her I'm coming. You know, she's more excited than I am. I mean, she just, you coming? Yeah, because I ain't been there in a long time. You know, so she is excited about
wow.
it. But I'm excited.
How long has the distance you've seen her?
Since 2007.
Wow. Amen.
I went home to, hi, did I, am I hearing Alondra in the back?
Am I
hearing Alondra in the back?
Yeah, she's in the back. She's talking to her dad. I just made it over here in London.
Yeah, I thought I heard her voice. Say hello for me. Yeah, we are excited about doing that. And then there's some preachers that I've been there before and preached for, and they're excited that I'm coming. And also apostle over there. So we are looking forward to having a grand time in the Lord, you know?
Amen.
Yeah.
Where else are you
God
going?
God is doing great. I'm going on Friday, leaving here on Friday. I'll be in Barbados on Friday.
On Friday.
Yeah, I will be there. I'll be there on Friday, and if you keep me in prayer, I know you're a strong prayer warrior, and I'm requesting your prayer, because, you know, when you're traveling in the air, anything can happen, especially the time that we're traveling now. This season that we're traveling in is a serious time. You know, we are everything is going on with these people that have control of nuclear weapons and all these different satellite systems that they're using now. They got this laser this and laser that that they, you know. So keep us in prayer. Keep us in prayer. Keep us in prayer. We're going to be gone for 16 days I'll be gone. So, and I'm working on getting this computer up for, so I can bring the message from the Caribbean, you know. So that's another thing. But the line is open. Anyone that want to come on in, you can come on in. If not, we're going to pray and close out. And we'll talk to you all on tomorrow. If the Lord stays the same, we'll be back here. Okay, Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us, that you have allowed us to share today. God, we don't take it lightly because your word is life. Your word is life to all spirit man. You have said in your word that the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. The life is on the word. Oh, God, we pray today for Minister Batmus, and she's going to be traveling also. We ask for traveling mercy for her and any family member that travel with her. We ask that you give her traveling mercy, that you continue to protect her, that you continue to shield her, keep her safe, Lord, that you provide all her needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Father God. We ask you, God, to continue to rise in every situation that she faced, oh God, and let the enemy be scattered. Lord, we pray, Father God, as we leave this line, but never your presence, that you bless Brother Deacon Fraser, bless Apostle Linda Washington, Pastor Bishop Washington, bless Pastor Brown, Lord. Thank you that you are adding people to his ministry, Lord God, that there's more people coming, going into the house, oh God, to hear the word of God. We thank you for using Evangelist Carol Brown, how you use her. Listen to her last week. She was coming over on the Facebook Live, and it was a powerful word from heaven. We ask you, God, to continue to use them, Lord God. We know that the enemy don't want to see them continue, but Lord, we thank you for your hand that's upon their ministry and upon their lives, Lord God. Thank you for how you took Bishop Washington through the surgery, and you brought him out safe, that his eyes are doing great. I had a long talk with him the other day, and his eyes are doing great, and he's excited about God, what God is doing in his life. Thank you for Apostle Washington. Thank you for Apostle Ronnie Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart, Lord God. You are a miracle-working God that tell you do what nobody else can do, Lord. Lord, you always surprise us, oh God. When we're not even looking, God, you are working. Oh, Father, you are a wonderful God. You are a wonderful Father. Oh, Father, we just thank you. Lord, we lift up the youngest minister, you know. Oh, God, we always call her Minister Alondra, Lord. We ask you, Father God, to continue to do for her what no one else can do, Lord. Give her the peace that passeth all understanding, and keep her safe, Lord, even as she endeavor to soon she'll be going to college. She's going to go through all her high school years, and then she'll be heading into college, Lord God. Everything's going to work out for her good, Lord, because we're calling those things out right now. We're not going to wait till she go to college. We're calling them things out now, Lord God, that she'll be a great achiever, Lord God. And she will glorify your name, Father. Oh, God, her life. Thank you, Lord God, how you bless Apostle Washington's daughter, Sian, to get her master's in. And, oh, God, she's doing great. We thank you, God, because you are doing everything that you said you would do. You said you would bless us and you would bless everyone connected to us, Lord God. Oh, Father, we just honor you right now. Lord Jesus says, we leave this land, but never your presence, oh, God. We're thanking you, and we always will thank you, oh, God, because you're worthy, Lord God. Psalmist says that, praise the Lord, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. So we are praising you, Lord. We are glorifying you right now. We are honoring you right now, Lord Jesus, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. Because no one compares to you. No one can do for us what you have already done and what you will do. Father, now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them. You love them. And Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today that will make all the difference in somebody's life. It might stop someone from committing suicide. It might stop someone from committing murder. It might stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that the characteristics of who Jesus is must be seen in our lives. Yes, his attributes must take over us. Everything that he's done, we must do. We must act like we are his sons and daughters. We must act like daddy. Hallelujah. So let it be seen. Let your life glorify him. Let your walk, your talk, everything glorify him. That's what he said. Let your light so shine before men. Hallelujah. We don't want to do stuff that would make them feel happy. We want them to glorify God. That's right, how we live. Thank God for you. Have a blessed day. This day, enjoy your weekend. And allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you all in everything that you say, everything that you do. If you get a chance, stop on by and pray to now. Spend some time with him. Say a word. Read a book. Read a word. However he loves you all to do, because that's his ministry. I can't tell you what to do over there, because that's the ministry the Lord has given to him. Allow, go on and support him. You may just want to sit back there and listen to him pray. But go, if you get a chance, go on there and fellowship with him. I love you guys so much. Have a good day. Great day. I will talk to you all later. God bless you. And keep the faith. Keep the faith. Bye-bye. Ooh, glory to God. Bye-bye. Keep the faith.
Amen.